from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Adam Chernoff is all things NFL for Right Angle Sports. He's on Twitter at Adam Chernoff. He's got some great TikToks in advance of these standalone games kicking off. Nice enough to join us now. Hello, my friend. How are we feeling?
I'm doing fantastic, but I tell you what, to go from the O'Reilly's Auto Parts jingle into Easy Lover into the segment, now I'm feeling extra good. That was the special of an intro as you get.
We got to pay the bills around here, and that is certainly one of the ways that we do it. All right, you, speaking of paying bills, have quite a few releases this week, one of which my partner here is going to be really excited about, maybe not in terms of the week itself, but the bigger picture, which is the Chicago Bears -3 against the Cincinnati Bengals. Now, that obviously is no longer -3. It is now out to 6, but are you expecting Caleb Williams in this one? What made you get to the Bears here?
Yeah, these are kind of tricky to talk about now because they've obviously all moved, but that was the sense and what we were expecting, and it certainly seems like we're going to get that. And then it's also a bit of a potential change in heart with the Bengals, especially with Jake Browning, arguably the best backup in the league, getting hurt. So it was really just a big push on info, and we got ahead of it. And subscribers are in a pretty good spot. But right now, as we're looking at this number much bigger, I wish I could say here and I say recommend that as well at this time, but that would be really tough to get to with the big move.
Yeah, no, I don't want to speak for you. I mean, I think this is probably just a squash because of the injuries with Cincinnati. But I certainly understand if you have 3, you would not want to necessarily double back at 6 because that is a different number entirely. Let's just kind of move across the board before we get to bigger sort of regular season NFL opinions here. Raiders -5. I believe that's now out to 6.5. Maybe that's a little closer in terms of what the number is. But it seems like the Raiders are still trying to figure out that quarterback spot. Is that the logic here at -5 against the Cowboys, Adam?
It is. We saw a big competition for the Raiders last week against Minnesota. As I was watching that game, I saw two very different Raiders teams. There was the Raiders team with starters that was competing, trying to figure out the quarterback situation in the first half. And then in the second half, they clearly let the foot off the gas quite a bit. And so initially looking at this big of a number, that was a bit of a concern. You knew you were going to get a big effort in the first half from the Raiders. The second half, that worry is kind of negated because they are playing the Dallas Cowboys, who have shown as little care for the preseason as any team over the last number of seasons. And we're just not going to get a lot out of the Cowboys this week as well. So with that said, I would say that this is still pretty close to being in range and consideration. But if you wanted to side with the Raiders, I would prefer to play that first half, which you'll likely get at -4. Once that comes out tomorrow, rather than jump on the full game right now.
I'm just curious, Adam, in terms of what we saw, and this will be a little bit of going back to Caleb Williams, but, you know, and against very small sample size, but we have laid eyes now on some of these rookie quarterbacks. Did anything you saw of, you know, with Jaden Daniels, who was so good, I got to say, on the one drive that he got, or Caleb Williams change? I remember last time we talked about to you, I think very specifically in terms of the Bears season, you weren't, you know, not so much of a feel. Has anything, whether it's those two teams or another quarterback that's come out and played, changed how you feel about that team's potential this season?
I would say Williams has been as expected, so I couldn't say that that's changed.
That's fine.
I would say Daniels has definitely changed a bit of an opinion that I have. Again, it was limited, but just the way he was moving in the pocket, his decision-making, yep. He made a phenomenal deep throw as well. To me, it's such an attractive team to bet on, whether it be prop-wise or just as likely a bigger underdog. I think that was pretty intriguing. Yep. Unfortunately, J.J. McCarthy goes down. I thought he looked very impressive. We're not going to get to see him this season, but that certainly was looking like a relatively competitive battle with Sam Darnold, and there was probably a big question to when he was going to get in. But now that it is Darnold's team, that's a pretty interesting development in Minnesota. So I would say Daniels was one. I would have said McCarthy too, but he's gone. And then in terms of Williams, is just there isn't anything yet to change the expectations, which are super high.
With you,
we're talking to Adam Chernoff from Running Sports, all things NFL. With him, joins us here on the show. A couple of regular season items I want to touch on. I don't know if the 49ers are going to keep Brandon Ayuk. I don't know if they're going to trade him. It feels like they almost don't know what they're going to do. But let's say, Adam, for the sake of argument, that they do wind up trading him to Pittsburgh. How much of a downgrade is that for San Francisco for you? And how much of an upgrade is it potentially for Pittsburgh for you?
It'll hurt San Francisco more than it will benefit Pittsburgh. I think it's a point-a-game loss for San Francisco, and over the course of the season, that's pretty substantial. They desperately need a guy like Ayuk on the outside to make this system work. And his absence from it would really put stress on what the 49ers want to do attacking the middle of the field, because defenses are going to be able to defend it in a different way. Without Ayuk on the field out wide, they don't have to really gamble outside, because they don't have a replacement wide receiver to San Francisco who can do what Ayuk does. So it really is going to help how defenses play San Francisco, and I think hurt that offense. If he goes to Pittsburgh, it's going to be a little bit of an upgrade, certainly, but there's still major questions about Arthur Smith running that offense and what he wants to see. It's going to be a run-first offense at a very high rate to begin with. So it's a much, much, much bigger impact to San Francisco than it will be a boost to Pittsburgh.
What about Bo Nix, Adam, in terms of their potential, and how much will, in terms of what you've gathered, and I guess we won't know until Peyton makes that decision. It seems there's with Stidham, obviously, you've got a choice there. But do you think by, you know, early this season, week one, I've heard some suggest that by the time this preseason's over, that he's going to roll with Bo Nix. I'm just curious about your thoughts on him and sort of their ceiling this year, if he's in there.
The Denver reporters that I've spoken with have confirmed that same sentiment, and they all think that it is going to be Nix starting week one. Mm-hmm. They believe that's pretty firmly what Peyton wants to have happen.
Yep.
I don't think it makes a difference between the two and what the offense will look like. I don't think it makes a difference for what the ceiling of the offense is going to be, because they spent so much money on the offensive line in the tens of millions for all of the guys that they have from left to right.
Yep.
They also have a big stable of running backs. They want to run the football a ton, and Peyton wants this to be a run-first offense. He doesn't want to have the field spread out and a quarterback firing it around. That's not what he wants this Broncos offense to be. And so I think whether it's Nix or Stidham, they're just going to be a guy that facilitates the offense best they can, and I don't see a big difference between the two, but I do think it'll be Nix in week one.
Okay.
Going back the last, I think, 18, 19 years, and there's probably a lot that goes into this, but no quarterback that's debuted in the Super Bowl and lost has even been back in the last 18, 19 years. So a guy makes his first Super Bowl as a quarterback. If he loses that game, he doesn't come back. It has not happened yet. Who is more likely, in your estimation, to end that drought? Joe Burrow, Jalen Hurts.
Oh, that's a great question to put me on the spot. I would say Jalen Hurts between the two this season, just because the path for Philadelphia to get to the Super Bowl is going to be easier than what the Bengals are going to have to go through. I think both teams are obviously going to be very competitive, but I'm so much higher on Philadelphia relative to their expectations than I am high on the Cincinnati Bengals relative to theirs, that I have to side with Hurts in this one. I don't believe that just the general fan or the general bettor or the general sports guy listening to this show understands how much better the Philadelphia Eagles offense is going to look this year compared to what it looked like a year ago. This offense is going to be one of the best in the league, no question. And I really want to bet into that. So putting me on the spot between the two right now, I'm saying it's Hurts. And I wouldn't even hedge with the Bengals comments. I'm just going to stick with Hurts in that one.
I actually think there's a non-zero chance that they could end the drought at the same time this season.
That's true.
You know, I mean, they both could get there. I mean, I actually have an exacta on that. I have the Eagles beating the Bengals in the Super Bowl at plus something ridiculous. Plus,
that's got to be a big number.
Yeah, it's 90-1. So, but I was like, okay. That's not terrible. Like, I feel like that's very, like, you sort of sit down and start plotting out teams.
Yeah.
If it's big Bengals, Eagles in the Super Bowl, nobody's going to be surprised by that.
For the record, I did a show last week, and I was put on the spot, and they said, who's your Super Bowl matchup? I said Kansas City-Philadelphia rematch. But when I was pressed to say who's the AFC championship game,
right,
I had Cincinnati-Kansas City. So we're a game apart in
exactly
what we think there.
I'll take that. If I'm sweating that in January, uh-oh, I will be a happy man.
A sweat of a lifetime is pending there, no question about it.
Yeah, let's talk a little bit about another trade, Adam, that was made today. maybe we were a year early on the Falcons over in 2023 post Ritter, but Matt Judon is now an Atlanta Falcon, and that's obviously a big upgrade for their pass rush. They have not had a double digit sack leader since 2016. How much of a difference do you think this makes for the Falcons, Adam?
Listen, I'm still waiting for Desmond Ridder to score on a quarterback sneak from a game they played last year. He's still somewhere between the 5-yard line and the end zone, trying to desperately get that win total over that fell half a win short. So I'm still holding out hope that that's going to come around. But it's enormous. I'm surprised Atlanta was able to pull the trade off, because Mike Clay is a guy who I really respect that does roster ratings for every unit and grades them out. And Atlanta had the lowest pass rush grade in the NFL. So to get a guy like Judon in there, it completely flips that around and is going to immediately bump them in, not quite to league average, but they're going to be significantly better than they were without him. And this is a team now led by Raheem Morris, which obviously skews to his defensive side and his expertise as a coach. So you get a weapon like that in there, and that's significant for what that's going to do for that pass rush. So they desperately needed it. I don't know how they were able to pull it off. That's a massive win for Atlanta on the defensive side.
You know, Adam, there are some that are saying this is the best situation that Sam Darnold's ever found himself in, just in terms of with weapons and certainly a competent offense, or it looks like. And Lord knows Justin Jefferson's as good as they get. I'm just curious, now that we know it's him, what are the Minnesota Vikings with Sam Darnold at the helm?
Well, let's put this into context. Now, as a Jets fan, I've heard that Sam Darnold has been in the best situation he's ever been in every season since he left the Jets. So, I mean, it's not like it's new news that he's in a better situation, because it couldn't get worse than what he came from.
Very true.
I think it's an interesting offense, because Kevin O'Connell is such a great play caller that he's going to get a lot out of Sam Darnold, who brings mobility to the team. He's going to get, obviously, a ton out of Justin Jefferson, who's a top three wide receiver in the NFL. When TJ Hockenson comes back, he's going to be able to elevate him to a top five tight end. He has Aaron Jones in the backfield. There's a ton of weapons here for Minnesota. Yeah. And last year, when Kevin O'Connell had to start a guy like Josh Dobbs or Jaren Hall or Nick Mullins, and the drop from Kirk Cousins, he was able to maintain a level of offense that was right around 21st to 22nd in the league, which is saying a lot for how bad those quarterbacks are.
Very true.
So if you give him an offseason and a preseason with a guy like Darnold, he can probably get a league average or better offense out of it. The big question and the knock, no matter where Sam Darnold has been, amazing situation, poor situation, whatever it is, his accuracy is always a problem. And he's a guy that's going to linger in like the high 50% range for completions. So that does limit the offense, and O'Connell's going to have to coach and game plan around that. But to me, it's not that dire of a situation with Darnold as the starter in Minnesota. I think they can probably get potentially slightly above league average at the end of the year if he stays healthy all season.
You know, it was interesting. You mentioned, the top AFC contender to Kansas City, and it was not Buffalo. It was Cincinnati, and I think that's the correct answer. It's a little crazy to consider that given, you know, the events of 2021 when the Bills were 13 seconds away from going to a Super Bowl, but they have not come close to matching that since. And I would ask you, you know, obviously no Diggs, you know, no Gabe Davis, a bit of a brand new offense here for Josh Allen, and nobody seems to be talking much about the Bills. Where does this fall? Who does this fall on? Is this on Sean McDermott? Is this on the general manager for talent acquisition? Is it on Josh Allen himself? You know, where does the lack of sort of momentum for this franchise, given what they have, where does the blame fall?
I think it's a bit of everything you just mentioned. The Bills have been playing catch-up to the Kansas City Chiefs for the last couple of seasons. We saw the Chiefs go from a high-flying downfield passing offense in 2018-2019 to a team that used a ton of tight ends in 2020 and 2021. Then they built up their defense, and now they're going through another offensive evolution. Buffalo's felt like they've been a year behind following that same path, and they've never quite been able to catch up. So it's a bit of blame on everybody, but it's also just kind of a byproduct of a dynasty like the Chiefs being right there at the exact same time, but slightly ahead. And so this year is going to be pretty telling because Josh Allen has never had more responsibility in the offense. Obviously, with Diggs and Davis gone, there's now a lack of star power, if you will. I actually don't think that the offense is going to fall off that much. It's going to be a very different looking offense. It's going to be a lot more running, a lot more ball control, and they're going to try really control the game, especially with these bigger bodies that they bought in at the skill positions.
Yeah.
So it's going to be a lot different looking, and it's all on Allen. But let's see if that's going to be enough for them to catch up with Kansas City and Cincinnati.
Yeah, I mean, you know, you had multiple chances, man. You had multiple chances, including, you know, you feel like you got Josh Allen's best game two different times in the playoffs, whether it's on the ground or through the air, the first one, and you're just not, it's not enough. So it's pretty depressing. There's no doubt about it. Adam, you're the best, man. Appreciate it as always.
Thank you so much, Adam.
Thank you very much, guys. We're close to kickoff, so we're two more weeks to go, and we'll be talking the real thing.
Can't wait. Thanks, brother. He is Adam Chernoff from Right Angle Sports. Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, in the 2021 game, I mean, I don't think you could have asked Josh Allen to be any better through the air, right? I mean, they were 13 seconds away from winning that game. So, you know, you have that in 2021 with everybody. What was the final? It was, I think that was it 2022 or 2021? Yeah, it was the 2021 season. So January 22, Josh Allen was 27 of 37, 329 yards, four touchdowns, and 68 yards on the ground. Right? I mean, that's a perfect game. Okay, as far as those go. And then this past year, whereas he wasn't as effective through the air, only 186 yards and a touchdown, he did have two rushing touchdowns. So three touchdowns in this one, four touchdowns in the first one. And you fall short two separate times. And this one was in Buffalo. The most recent one was in Buffalo. So it's like, it's just not going to happen.
You saw the news they got like 2 hours ago about Milano?
Yeah, and that's another one. Like, your defense is constantly injured.
It could be out for the season. He's got torn biceps. He
yeah.
In practice.
And he's huge for them.
Pro bowler.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about losing the pro bowler on your defense, and things are already getting thin as it is. You're going to need more from the guys you got, and you're not going to have Matt Milano for a good deal. Maybe he gets back in December is the word. But, yeah, he injured in practice on Tuesday, and that's about the worst outcome you can get. And, you got to crack down somewhere. You gave up on Diggs, and offensively you're not going to score as many points. You're not going to be as explosive. So you need that defense to be better. Now Matt Milano's out.
Yeah.
So, again, it just keeps getting worse. But I'm telling you, Bill's sliding. I've said this for a while. It's been sliding. They're going to slide on into – on down that division as the Jets and Dolphins.
Yeah, because I actually think the Dolphins. I think the Dolphins have a chance.
Injuries really plagued them last year,
especially defensively.
Exactly.
Yeah.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, "What happens when you compare Bob's to the competition?" You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches, because the way these ball players are hitting them, yeah, they'd need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.